This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وعلى كل من تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وبعد. Respected brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. First of all, before we start the session, I would like to apologize if there is slight technical issues in today's session. Alhamdulillah, normally we don't have any technical problems, definitely not on any of my classes and sessions with Al-Balagh. But subhanAllah, what happened is just yesterday, the Wi-Fi has not been working on Saturday evening here in our Darul Iftah office. So we have to call the company tomorrow and see what the issue is. So I'm using the mobile data. So it might be slightly delayed, etc. But hopefully, inshallah, it's not too much of an issue. Secondly, alhamdulillah, I would like to thank Al-Balagh Academy for organizing this very important seminar or webinar session on the root causes of marriage problems and divorce and things like that. And also, all of you, I'd like to thank, mashallah, we've got quite a few participants. Who are participating. I would like to thank all of you for taking out your time. And we have two tabs here, the question and answer tab and the chat tab. So inshallah, if you have any questions, inshallah, if you have any questions, then just type them out in the Q&A session and I will go through them, all of them right at the end, inshallah, at the end of the seminar, inshallah ta'ala. We don't really have a PowerPoint or any points, but maybe as we go along in the chat, somebody can just type some of these things up, just bullet points that I'm going to talk about, inshallah ta'ala. So the topic, as we all know, root causes and solutions in marriage conflict. Now with this, what I'm going to do is I'm going to look through a few number-wise root causes of marriage problems, of marital conflict, of dispute, of separation, of divorce, and their solutions, how to deal with them. I'll see how many I can cover. I'll put them in points. So inshallah, you know, we can just type these points out, point number one, cause number one, cause number two, cause number three, like that, inshallah. So before we do that, we have to realize that, look, the topic is root causes and solutions in marriage conflict, which means that this, which tells us something, which is that marital conflict is quite common. And this is why there's a need to discuss, there's a need to talk about, there's a need to address these root causes, these causes of marital conflict. And this also tells us that marriage is not something that is absolutely easy, plain sailing, has no issues, no ups and downs, no bumpy rides. It's never been like that and it'll never be like that. Marriage problems are common. They are part and parcel of a marriage. No one has said marriage is easy. Marriage, you know, when people don't marry, young people, when before they get married, they don't realize that marriage is actually quite difficult. It's actually, you know, as difficult as offering 5-time prayers, or even more difficult than offering tahajjud prayer, waking up in the middle of the night. Because in a marital relationship, so much involved. Now you are tied up with someone, with another human being, and you are sharing with them all aspects of your life. Before marriage, you were a bachelor, you were single, you could sleep whenever you want and wake up whenever you want and sleep how you want and wake up how you want and eat when you want and what you want and do whatever, whenever. Of course, in the boundaries of Sharia, it's never like you can do whatever. The absolute total freedom is not there, of course, for a Muslim and even for a non-Muslim. Nobody has absolute total freedom. I mean, as a human being, there's no such a thing as absolute total freedom. Even those who disbelieve in Allah, they don't have absolute total freedom. They might say, okay, we're free, we don't follow any religion. So, but nobody, I mean, nobody does. I mean, that's why everyone's complaining about life, because nobody can do what they want. Everyone has to wake up and everyone has to go to work. They might not want to go to work, but they're tied up. They're not, you know, people are, you know, slaves of the society in many occasions. So anyway, but for a Muslim, there's not absolute freedom because we are bound to the laws of Sharia. But underneath that and within that, there is a type of like freedom. You're not tied up with somebody. When it comes to marriage, there are boundaries, there are rules, regulations. And therefore, we have to remember that marriage was not something that was supposed to be just completely easy. I remember once I was giving a talk on marriage and a brother asked a question and he said, can I ask a question, Sheikh? Because I was going through all the fada'il, all the virtues and all the merits and all the reward of marriage in Islam. So he said that, I have a question, that it seems that marriage is the only thing that gives you so much reward and you actually want to do it and really enjoy it. Because everything else in Islam, it's a struggle, of course, and you get a lot of reward. All the things that Allah says, pray five times and fast in Ramadan and pay zakat and do tilawah and do this and do that and avoid those sins. And that's actually in the hadith that hujibatil jannatu bil makarih. If you want to enter paradise, you have to go through hardships and difficulties, like things you have to do which may be apparently difficult for you in order to enter paradise. And this is a test from Allah. So he said, look, everything else that takes you to Jannah and gives you so much reward seems difficult. But marriage is the only thing that actually is something that's good and enjoyable and you love it and takes you to Jannah. And there's so much, because I was going through all the rewards and merits of marriage. So I said to the brother, when he was asking that question, I said, brother, are you married? He said, no. I said, well, that's why you're saying that. Get married and then ask me the same question, if you'll ask the same question. Then you will probably say that actually it's easier to pray 5-10 prayers than marriage. Because marriage is a, you know, challenge. I'm not going to say it's difficult and it's very hard, but it's a challenge. Human beings, we are all different. We are all created differently. Mentally, we are different. Psychologically, we are different. Emotionally, we are different. And that's actually one of the causes that's coming, that we are different, and to live with somebody who's different constantly is very difficult, but I'll get to that cause. But this is just an overall that, in marriage, there's good things, there's good aspects, of course. And rather, everything in the dunya, you know, the Quran says, "Inna ma'al usri yusra." Verily, with hardship, there's difficulty. So in marriage as well, there's goodness, and then there's, you know, things that you enjoy, etc. But there's also hardships, and there's also, I would probably use the word challenges. There are challenges in marriage. Now, before we go into the question one again, last bit, that we see the rate of divorce and the rate of marital conflict and separation has really increased in this day and age, in our times, really increased. And one of the reasons is that in the current climate, it doesn't mean that this one or two things that they, you know, which were not there back, which were not present previously back in the day, which are present now, which cause, they are there, one or two things. But another really important thing to consider is that marriage was always challenging, even before. Even in the time of the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, marriage was challenging. It's always been challenging, marriage. But one of the reasons why divorce rates have really increased is because people don't have that level of sabr and patience. People don't have that level of patience and sabr today as they used to in those days. And we live in a time now, people give up very easily. There's no sabr, there's no patience. You know, the way we have been brought up, that everyone just can't control this or manage the situation. People can't endure, people can't do sabr, people just want it their way, or that's it, the highway. And this is one of the big problems for the cause of, you know, marital problems, etc. But anyway, what are the main root causes? Number one, and this, can someone can tab this one out once I explain it, first few lines, inshallah, which I've kind of already highlighted and sort of indicated. One of the main reasons is the fact that before marriage, the two people who are getting married, they forget to realize, or they don't realize, they forget, or they oversee the fact, or they are not sort of, they don't look into this issue of realizing, they don't realize that the person they are marrying, that person is different from them emotionally, psychologically, mentally. They are different from you. And this is, as you must have heard of the saying, men from Mars, women from Venus. All human beings are different. Yeah, first of all human beings, even we look differently. Physically, we are different. Even our fingerprints are different. Every human being face is different. There's no two human beings' faces are the same. Even our fingerprints, just imagine, millions of human beings have come into the world, and they'll come on into the world, but Allah created every person's fingerprint different. And even mentally and psychologically, we are different. Emotionally, we are different. We all think differently. We have different feelings. We deal with things differently. Now, if you're alone, or you're not tied up with somebody, you're not alone, but okay, you live in a family with your parents, etc., it's still not the same. You're still your own person. You know, you're living with your parents, you're still your own person, you still have your own sort of privacy. But when you are in marriage, then you become a double person. Basically, you are sharing everything. Now, it's difficult as a human being to live and share, live with someone, share everything with them, you know, finances, food, accommodation, same bedroom, same bed, you know, life-making decisions, traveling together, same children, discussing the children, upbringing of children, just so many things you're sharing with them. Now, it's difficult as it is, because human beings are different. But in marriage, it's not even just another human being, it's a different gender. It makes it double difficult. First of all, two human beings are different. And then it's not two men or two women. Of course, marriage is between a man and a woman. So even, you know, from the gender perspective, men think differently, women think differently, men do things differently, women do things differently. And that's why it's really important that people, before they get married, they realize this. They realize this, they understand this, they consider this, that living with someone different is not easy. There's a hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam in which he says that a believer, al-muslimu yukhalitu an-nas wa yasbir ala adahum khayrun min al-muslim alladhi la yukhalitu an-nas wa la yasbir ala adahum. A believer who intermingles with people and therefore exercises patience on the harms is better than the believer who doesn't intermingle with people and therefore does not have to exercise patience. What does that hadith mean? It's in Sunan Tirmidhi. That if you're a Muslim, a believer, if you're a person and you don't live with anybody, you just live in the desert, therefore you don't have to exercise patience, because no one's going to hurt your feelings. You're just in a desert. Well, who's going to hurt? The sand's going to hurt your feelings. You live in by yourself in the house, the building, you know, the brick, the walls, you know, no one's saying anything, doing anything to hurt your feelings. You're just your own person. So he says that therefore, if a Muslim lives on his own, then his feelings will not be hurt. So in the hadith, he's saying that that Muslim who actually takes on the challenge to live with people, takes on the challenge of marriage, takes on the challenge of living with a family, takes on the challenge of living with society, because everyone, you see, the more closer people are to you, the more chances of your feelings being hurt from them, because you're sharing with them. But it carries on. So your spouse closest to you, your husband, your wife, therefore the chances of your feelings being hurt from them are the greatest. And then a bit more, then your extended, you know, your other family members, then the extended family, then your locality community, and people who are you are in contact with in, say, you know, online, etc. Your community, and then the rest of humanity. So living with people, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that the person who takes on the challenge, one person can say, look, I'm not going to live with people. That's it. I don't need to, you know, hurt anyone's feelings, and no one's going to hurt my feelings. But someone who actually intermingles with people and then exercises patience on the harms and feelings being hurt and the harms being received. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't even use the word if. The one who lives with the people, and if his feelings or her feelings are hurt, no. He just said the one who lives with people and therefore feelings are hurt is better. Meaning, by virtue of living with people, intermingling, interacting, it is automatic. So there's no if here. It's guaranteed. So the one who intermingles with people and therefore feelings will be hurt is better than the one who does not live with people and feelings are not hurt. So in the case of living with people, feelings will be hurt. So therefore, you have to, you know, really look at this properly. Understand it. Before marriage, I always tell the young people, study books, study psychology, you know, see how to deal with the opposite gender. The gender, you know, mentally, psychologically, physically, like for example, women are emotional. A guy who gets married and doesn't realize how a woman is emotional, you know, he's going to have problems in his marriage, because he's lived all his life on his own as a guy, and he's mainly had male friends. And now he's married someone. This woman that's coming to your marriage as a brother, this woman that's coming to your marriage is not like one of your mates. She now thinks differently. You could say some things to your male friends, but now you might say to her, and it might just affect her differently. She's, you know, much more emotional. And that's why the hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Al-mar'atu khuliqat min dhil'in." Woman is created from a rib. In other words, a woman is different from a man. She's, you know, very gentle, very like fragile, very emotional, and therefore be very careful. And likewise, the woman needs to understand as well that, you know, the man that you're marrying is different. She's not like your other friend or sister that you used to talk to, talk about your marriage, talk about your problems with her for like 1 hour. You know, sisters can discuss a problem for like an hour. You know, you used to have an issue, and you and your friend, and you just sit there for 1 hour and talk about all the details, and you know, that's how you feel better. The man, he doesn't really go into 1 hour discussions. And that's why a lot of times the problems occur, you know, that the wife is, say, wanting a bit of attention, like she comes and talks to the husband about something that I have this problem, and the husband's like, okay, finishes off in 2 minutes. And she doesn't like it, because it's, I need someone to talk to. Why aren't you talking to me? Well, listen to me. Not even talk, listen. But the husband, he's a male, his mind is completely different. The way he is psychologically is very different. For him, it's like, okay, this doesn't require 1 hour discussion. This just requires a 1 minute discussion. Okay, you're saying this, and you're saying this. Okay, either this or that. Then just say, okay, do this then. Then the wife will say, but no, but this one. Okay, do that then. But then the wife will say, but no. Like the wife will give two maybe options, and both of them are not right for her. And the husband won't get it. Like either this or that. Like what else can you do? But the wife is not looking for a solution. She doesn't want like do this solution, do that solution. She just wants you to listen to half an hour about this and half an hour about this, and doesn't want you to give the final solution. Just listen and okay, all right, okay, wow, okay, so sorry, this, that, okay. Just listen and that's it. And that's her solution. So this is what happens. Men and women, they are different, and they both have to, you know, learn about the differences between the two genders. So, alhamdulillah, we've written the first course here. the fact that the person they're marrying is different from them emotionally, mentally, psychologically. So basically, one of the main root causes of marital conflict is the fact that people do not realize or understand properly the differences between the two genders. And this is taken from the hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Like I said, the main hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam about, you know, the woman being created from a rib. If you look in the commentary of the hadith, he's talking about how a woman is different to man. That's what that hadith is talking about, that a woman is different to men, and men need to look at that. And also, women need to consider the fact that men are different to them. Each person is different to the other. Number two, the second very important root cause is the fact that we live in a time where some of the gender roles are mixed up. A lot of times, people don't like to listen to this. Traditionally, classically, one of the reasons why divorce rates were lower than they are now is because even within non-Muslims, I'm not just talking about Muslims, even within non-Muslims, is because people realized that the second cause is actually an extension of the first one. Because first one, we talked about that they are different mentally, psychologically, physically, emotionally, from all different angles. Even physically, they're different. So it's an extension. But when the two genders are different, they're not similar to one another. They are equal. Of course, in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are equal. There's equality in Islam between men and women. Equality meaning that a man and a woman, both are equal in the sight of Allah. They are both valued equally in the sight of Allah. If a man is righteous, or if a woman is righteous, pious, you know, whoever's more pious, Allah will not say, okay, because you're a man, you know, you have more reward, or you're a woman, you get more reward. Quran says, in al-Muslimina wal-Muslimat, al-Mu'mineen wal-Mu'minat, al-Qanitin, Qanitat, Sadiqin, Sadiqat, Khashi'in, Khashi'at. He's mentioning all the good qualities of the male gender and the female gender. Believing man, the believing woman, the God-fearing man, the God-fearing woman, the praying man, the praying woman, the one who, الذاكرين الله كثيرا والذاكرات, the man who makes dhikr of Allah, remembers Allah, and the female who remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, etc. So there's equality. Okay, there's no one gender is not better than the other. But of course, the two genders are different from all angles, from physically and emotionally and mentally and psychologically. We said that there's differences. So as an extension to this first point, the second kind of reason is that because there are differences, each gender has a specific role to play, which is suited to their gender. And the cause of the dispute or the marriage conflict today is because gender roles are mixed up. Gender roles are mixed up. That's why traditionally, even within non-Muslims, 50 years ago, 60 years ago, 100 years ago, even in non-Muslims, even in the Western countries, you ask the non-Muslims in the West, in America, in the UK, in Canada, etc., and many European countries and Western countries, their parents or their grandparents, they never saw that many divorces. And one of the reasons, as not as many separations and divorces, one of the reasons was that men played the role of being a man. The woman played the role of being a woman. Gender roles were not mixed up. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created both genders and you know, gave them both tasks and responsibilities suited to their gender. And there's nothing wrong. It's just what's suited for, you know, one gender. Doesn't mean one gender is better than the other. It's the society today. Some of these things people don't like to listen because, you know, the society has programmed our brain, you know, to think in a particular way, to make us think. You know, we are so strongly programmed that sometimes certain things we just don't want to hear that there's another argument to this, and actually it might actually be better, but because our minds have been programmed by society, by media, we just don't want to accept. The male role was supposed to be the breadwinner. The Quran says clearly, "Ar-rijalu qawwamun 'ala an-nisaa bima faddala Allahu bihi ba'dahum 'ala ba'd." Men are the caretakers, the maintainers, the breadwinners. They are in charge, they are responsible. That's their role. And that suits the man. Even in the animal kingdom, it's exactly the same. That suits the man's role. This is why Allah gave the man the task based on how he fashioned the man. Allah knows best the strengths and the weaknesses of the male. Allah knows best the strengths and the weaknesses of the female. So he gave certain tasks and jobs and responsibilities to the male based on the male physique and gender and strengths and weaknesses. Likewise, he gave certain jobs and roles and responsibilities to the female gender based on the strengths and weaknesses and the physique and the nature of the female. But we live in a time that, you know, it's all mixed up. A perfect marriage was a man who was the breadwinner, the responsible person, the one going outside and working most of the time and, you know, earning and providing and being in charge. And the woman was, you know, I'm not saying the woman can't work and it's haram, etc. But this was how it was traditionally. And, you know, this her main responsibility was nurturing the children at home. And that's based on her nature. She gets pregnant and she gives birth and she's breastfeeding for 2 years. So people don't want to listen to this. There's quite a few non-Muslims who talk about this as well. Because in this time of feminism we live in, our minds have been programmed. We've been fed certain things that we just don't want to listen. You know, there was a time when women were, you know, we talk about empowering women, but this actually, it's, you know, it's the brain has, the way it's been programmed, it's not an empowerment. The woman has been deceived. The same woman, if she stays at home, looks after her children, her son, her daughter, her children or her grandchildren, and, you know, looks after them and brings them up and spends time, you know, at home and serves them and cooks for them and, you know, looks after them and her husband and everybody, the society has programmed the brain to think that that's backwardness. That's oppression. And the same woman who goes and serves 200 passengers in an airplane as an air hostess and dresses up for them and smiles at every single one and goes to every single man and everyone's looking at her and everyone just, you know, enjoying her in every way, shape or form and just serving them, then the woman's been told, that's empowerment. Now you've got freedom. There's no freedom. They're so worried about everything. There are people depressed because I look this way, I look that way, you know, this is wrong, that's wrong. You know, when in history, what happened was that the man was very cunning, very sly, was very bored. Post-industrial times, you know, they wanted a boom in the economy. So what they did was that they said, look, number one, only why mainly men are always doing all these hard works and jobs. Like, it's not fair. So they said that the woman, let's bring the woman out as well and get her into the workplace. Let her work as well. She should also do the same things. And also, secondly, the men were just bored by themselves. They were only working. They were not productive because there were only men everywhere. So they wanted to enjoy the woman into the workplace so that they become more productive. So they deceived the woman. And said, like, why are you staying at home, you know, looking after children, all this backward, and you're not empowered, and come out, and, you know. So they deceived the woman. Now, what's happened that the woman, she still has to do a lot of the things at the home. She still doesn't get, like, absolute major, you know, decisions and major roles in the workplace. See how many, in history until now, presidents and prime ministers, women have been. In comparison to men, still they talk about, you know, sexism in workplace, etc. It still exists because at the same time, she still has to work at home. And at the same time, they pulled her out and dragged her into the workplace as well. So you give birth as well to the children, and you also be pregnant, and you also have menstrual periods, and you also nurture the children. You also be there when young age. You also do the school run. You also run around in the morning, go take the children to school, come back quickly. You also go and work as well. You also earn as well. You also quickly come back home and cook as well for the children. You also put the pizza in the, you know, oven and microwave or whatever. You also do this and you quickly wash the clothes. They do most of the stuff. So the woman now triple responsibility. And she doesn't realize that the man has played with her brain, telling her that this is empowerment. Really, the woman should have been the queen saying, you know what? It's not my responsibility. You're a man. I am not coming out and earning one penny. And if I've got any money that's come to me from my parents or my inheritance, it's all my money in my bank. And even if there's £1 million, you can't touch it. I'm not even going to spend it from it. I'm not even going to eat one morsel from it. You have to go out, work, be responsible. I will wake up in the morning. I'll make the kids ready for school. They'll go to school. I'll just relax. I'll wake up and go back to sleep for 2-3 hours. Wake up, have a nice shower, make myself a nice, beautiful breakfast, relax a bit, and then maybe clean up the house a bit. Then I might just go and buy something, might go and socialize, go to another sister. You know, she's also there relaxing. We're going to have a lunch together, going to have some coffee, party together, then come back home, cook the evening meal and dinner. Then all the children, the husband, everybody comes. Yes, serve everyone. You all eat. Just a nice, relaxing day. Why so many women are depressed today? Because there's too much on their plate. Because the man is deceived in the name of feminism, like empowerment. Like you have to, you're backward. Like, you know, somehow being a mother is being backward. And this is a massive reason of, you know, gender roles being mixed up. So the perfect marriage was between a man who played the role of a man who acted like a man who took the responsibility of being a man. And he was masculine and he was manly and he dealt with issues in a man way. And a woman who was feminine, who played the role of being a wife and a feminine and a woman. And that was a perfect jigsaw puzzle. A man married a woman. But today we've got the man who's been demasculized. So basically the man has become like half feminine. So you've got a man who's half masculine, half feminine. And you've got a woman who's become half masculine. So you've got a half man, half woman, not literally speaking, but I'm just, you know, like in a sarcastic way I'm saying, but you've got a half man and a half woman marrying a half man, half woman. And of course, that's not a perfect jigsaw puzzle. So therefore, going back to this concept of the role of the male, the role of the woman, the gender roles, it's really, really important going back to that. So that's, gender roles being mixed up. The cause two is they have different roles and responsibilities and they have different gender roles. You could also add there different gender roles. And the cause is that gender roles are mixed up. The roles are mixed up. I'm not saying based on this that a woman can't work, etc. Of course, there's been in history that they've, you know, but they never did, you know, that in the time of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Sahaba, and in our history, women have done a lot of different things, but they did it not because of a need to work, because the man had to provide fully. They did it out of a passion. There were women who were teachers. So they did it in their own time, when they can, how much they can. If they were passionate about serving humanity, like in medicine, for example, they did what they can do, bare minimum, when they want to, when they don't want to. There's no pressure on them. There's no pressures of earning, of life chores on them in terms of earning money. They were teachers. They were muhaditha. They did a lot of different things, but it was all done in that, way, basically. So that's number two. Number three, I'll look at the question, inshallah, right at the end. Number three, I hope people can listen properly and it's not lagging too much, inshallah ta'ala, hopefully not. Like I said, I mean, for me as well, the screen here is a bit like, I don't know how the screen is for you, but inshallah. Number three, sometimes we have problems in marriage due to too many high expectations. So the cause is high expectations. High expectations in marriage. You know, before getting married, lower your expectations. And not just marriage, generally in life, brothers and sisters, my friends, if you want a peaceful, happy-ish, of course, happy but with challenges, because this life always has challenges. It's never going to be a life, this dunya life will never be that. There'll be no challenges. I mean, these are causes and solutions are there, but that doesn't mean that there will be no problems in marriage. There will still be some problems in marriage, and there'll still be problems in life, because that's the nature of this dunya. Quran says, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ. We will test you with all the different tests, poverty and, you know, someone passing away and hunger and sometimes a lack of, you know, food or economically, or financially. We will test you. This is dunya is a test. Only Jannah, there's only bliss, in which there's la khawfun alayhim wa lahum yahzanun. No fear, no sadness. The greatest reward in Jannah after seeing Allah. After seeing Allah, one of the greatest rewards in paradise is that there's no fear, there's no sadness. There's no anxiety, there's no stress, there's no sadness. There's just happiness and happiness internally. And hellfire is all torment and punishment. This dunya is a combination of both. So, yes, if you act upon deen and you know, we follow all these guidelines, etc., inshallah, internally there'll be peace, but there'll still be difficulty. There'll be peace, but there'll be difficulty. You know, you will internally, you'll feel peace, despite externally there might be a hardship befalling you. And that's the meaning of Ala bi dhikrillahi tatma'innu al-qulub. You know, when you make dhikr of Allah, hearts feel content and there's patience, there's tranquility. That doesn't mean you don't experience problems. Of course you'll experience, every human being. I mean, every human being has some close person in their family that passes away in their life. And that's one of the highest. Your parents, most people go through parents passing away. Some don't, but most do. Many go through their children passing away or siblings. So that is the greatest, great test. So that's going to be there. Tests are going to be there, definitely. So Allah says, وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. Give glad tidings to the people of patience. الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. So anyway, I was saying that generally in life, if you want a peaceful, calm, you know, internally peaceful life, lower your expectations. Honestly, work on this. You'll see the difference in your life. You will see the difference. I've practiced this since many, many years. Just lower your expectations from the creation of Allah. And connect all your expectations with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just don't expect things from people. If we lower our expectations, then we won't be too disappointed when someone doesn't fulfill that expectation or doesn't live up to what we were expecting them to do. Generally in life, when you give someone a gift or something, don't expect that they're going to, like, you know, say thank you to you and jazakumullah khairan and, you know, tell you so many things, good things in response and give you a gift and this and that. Don't expect it. Do it for the sake of Allah and forget. If they say alhamdulillah and they say thanks to you, then that's a bonus. Wow, I wasn't expecting it. Alhamdulillah. I wasn't expecting it. If someone does good to you, then that's a bonus. But default is don't expect it. And you won't be disappointed. Likewise, in marriage as well, have low expectations. Don't think that when I get married, you know, my husband will be my Prince Charming, will come and he'll, you know, people have all these expectations, too many expectations that, yeah, he's going to do this for me and he's going to do that for me and he's going to lift me and, you know, he's going to pick me up and he's going to every day, you know, open the door of the car and, you know, he's going to kiss the ground that I walk on, and you know, it's going to be swept away, and you know, it'll just be like all day long just going to think about me, and you know, I'm just going to be the most important person like ever in history of his life, and I'm, you know, like I'm the only one who ever gets married. You know, sometimes people get married, and there's 4 billion people who've got married before you, and there's 4 billion people that might get married after you as well. It's just part and parcel of life. You know, sometimes we think when we get married, like, okay, I'm the only one who gets married. And like, I know it's an important day of our life, but come on, get over it. It's you know, people get married. It's not like, you know, the whole world hasn't stopped because of your marriage. Everyone's in their own life, and everyone's got their own issues. So my marriage has to be so important, and everyone needs to think about my marriage, and everything needs to revolve around me, like attention seeking. That causes a lot of problems. Mentally, it causes yourself problems. So this, you know, thinking that, you know, inshallah, make dua, Allah gives you a good husband or a good wife. But high expectations, even from a deen perspective, that inshallah, you know, me and my husband, we're going to sprinkle water on each other every day. And, you know, we're going to share a book together. You know, we'll both hold a book together and we'll read. I'll read from this page and he'll read from that page. And, you know, and then he'll, fill, you know, he's going to move that page and then I'll get to the next page. And, you know, we're just going to feed each other food. And some people live in some kind of, I don't know, Disneyland or something. I don't know. If good things happen, alhamdulillah. But, you know, it's a lifelong marriage. And as long as you get someone who treats you well, doesn't harm you, doesn't abuse you, inshallah, practices the deen, lets you practice the deen, and then inshallah, and you know, generally give you company, and then inshallah, in this day and age especially, it's you know, it's a blessing, because there's people who abuse and do all sorts of things. So therefore, try to lower expectations. You know, people look at media, and because of that, they get affected and impacted. Like, you know, some people look at Bollywood movies and things like that, and they think that's marriage. That's not marriage. That's just for the cameras. They go on, if they were such great married people, the actors, husbands and wives and great spouses, go and look in their own lives, personal lives. There's, you know, they have problems in their personal lives. It's just for the camera. So that's a third reason. Fourth reason, interference of family members and friends. This is also another big cause. And that's why I always say to people who get married, their families, that look, stay at a distance. Two people are married, let them just deal with the issues. Only interfere and only help. Don't, you know, a lot of times people, they don't actually help. They do the opposite of helping, whatever that is. They think they're helping, but they do the opposite of helping. So only get involved and only help with sincerity. So family members, in-laws, there's rules in Islam about laws of in-laws, etc. And there's too much, you know, cultural baggage that is involved. And, you know, in-laws should not be getting involved in the couple's marriage. So too many people being nosy and too many people coming and giving their, you know, advice or their sort of two pence worth in what the couple should do and what they shouldn't do and how she should live and how he should live. So this also causes a lot of problems. Interference of family members and friends. And, you know, with friends as well, sometimes be very careful. People need to be careful who they talk to. You know, the one always giving you advice in your favor is not always the best advice and your best friend. So, you know, like sometimes people have problems in marriage and sisters, the wife will have certain friends. They will always stick up for you. They will never tell you your fault. That's a bad friend. A good friend is like a mirror. That's why the hadith says, "Al-mu'minu mir'atul mu'min." They will tell you, in a nice way, they will tell you you're wrong as well in this situation. We just want people, yes, people around us. And we don't want to be told that we're wrong. We should be willing to be told that there's actually my fault in this as well. I am doing something wrong as well. You know, in marriage, all this happens that every party thinks the other party is at fault. You know, and maybe that could be another reason. But let's not make it as another reason. But that's what happens. You know, whenever I talk to people or people have spoken to me over the years, if the husband is complaining, and seeking advice about marriage problems, the husband will say, you know, they all start with like, you know, I'm not an angel. Yeah, yeah. I know I have my faults as well. You know, I know I could be a better husband. And I know maybe I've done certain things wrong. That's just like, you know, very quick, like 10 seconds. You know, I know I could be wrong, et cetera, et cetera. But, and then the 10-hour complaint starts about the wife. But she's like this, and she's like that, and her mother-in-law's like this, and all that. And the wife, when she talks about her marriage problems, she talks about her faults 10 seconds. It's like it's, you know, it's not even worth consideration. Now, I'm not, you know, me, I know I'm not an angel yet, but he's like this, is this, is this, is this. I've yet to find someone over many, many years come to me and say, actually, I've got marriage problems and got these issues, and but it's all my fault, or majority. I know my husband's not an angel, but you know, it's actually me, and I'm really like this, and I can't do this. Very rare. This is just human beings. We're all the same. And these, whatever I'm saying is all for all, me and everyone else. It's not just for you guys. This takes us to the issue of tazkiyah. So, and therefore, a good friend is someone who tells you that you are at fault as well. These are your faults. So when you have friends, don't let them interfere. A lot of the times, people outside, you know, there's a hadith that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that whoever turns someone against their spouse, this is a warning of punishment for them. I can't remember the hadith right now. It's a famous hadith. Man khabbaba imra'atan ala zawjiha, and then I can't remember the exact warning or the punishment. So basically, if someone goes, I mean, the hadith is talking about someone going to the woman, but it applies to someone going to the man as well. Like a female friend goes to another female friend who's married and, you know, fills a head in against the husband. And this happens a lot. Like sometimes a woman, she's happy in her marriage. Okay, she's happy. She might not get everything what you've got in terms of some freedom or whatever, but she's happy. It didn't even occur in her brain that there was actually, you know, there was something wrong. And then a friend comes and says, oh, he doesn't even take your holidays. I go holidays every, you know, year, twice. He's not even done this for you, sister. Like, and then she starts thinking and her brain starts now working, you know, double. And something which was not even an issue for her, someone else made it an issue. These are the worst people, honestly, the most vile people who do this. There's so much, you know, in the hadith that talk about such kind of people who go and turn people against others. So that you'll get that. And sometimes some friend might go to a man as well and say, you know, make him turn against his wife. He's happy. If two people are happy, whatever, let them live their life. So therefore, in marriage, just try to, you know, make a barrier between you and other people. If someone comes, says, sorry, thank you, but no thank you. Don't need your advice. We're okay. Right? Thank you, but no thank you. Assalamu alaikum. Barakallahu feekum. Jazakumullah khair. So try not to have people interfere from outside. And I think time is up, but then I'll just mention one last one, last two ones. One other one, the fourth one, third one needs to be typed out. The fourth one, is the fact that, which already I kind of highlighted, is the lack of tazkiyah. Tazkiyah means purification of the heart and the soul. So basically, we all need to work on our hearts. You know, Islamically, it's a massive branch of Islam of tazkiyah. The Quran says, "Qad aflaha man zakkaha." And this is for not just for marriage, but generally in life. A very important branch of Islam. Every Muslim, male and female, it's a basic responsibility of Islam that we actually take on this challenge. And we dedicate our time, our life, even if you're not married, it's part of Islam to work on the hearts, read books on this topic, go through courses on this topic of eradicating, removing every single spiritual disease, illness of the heart. So for example, anger is a massive issue, problem. We need to, each one of us, we need to work on it. It might take 6 months, it might take 1 year to work on eradicating anger. Jealousy is another issue. jealousy is haram. وَمِن شَرِّ حَاسِدٍ إِذَا حَسَدَ. And there's hadiths that talk about the prohibition of jealousy. Now, it doesn't just go away like that. It requires training. We need to go through a training program of how to eradicate and remove jealousy from our heart. This is this blameworthy spiritual ailment, disease. And jealousy needs to be replaced with a fadila, which means selflessness. Also, selfishness needs to be removed and replaced with selflessness. Also, humility. Pride and arrogance is a disease, needs to be removed and replaced with humility, which is tawadu, etc., etc. There's a list of blameworthy character traits which need to be eradicated and replaced by praiseworthy character traits. So that's really important, because especially in marriage, it's important generally, but in marriage, all of these things have a direct link with a marriage. Each one of them has a direct link with marriage. If a person you get married to, or those people who are married, they haven't worked on their hearts. They've not undergone tazkiyah. It's called tazkiyah in Arabic, in the Quranic language. Then they will have all these spiritual diseases. Jealousy, enmity will be there. You know, they will have anger issues. They'll have pride. They'll have arrogance. They'll have love of dunya. Love of dunya is a spiritual disease. It needs to be replaced with abstinence of love of akhirah, not being materialistic, etc., etc. All these diseases will have a direct impact on the marriage. So love of dunya, obsession of wealth, will cause marriage problems in terms of money issues, in terms of comparing your marriages with other people's marriages. So basically not practicing this really important aspect of Islam. So the cause is the lack of tazkiyah, the lack of spiritual reformation. And the solution is that working on the hearts and trying to work on the hearts and reform our souls, our hearts, our inner, you know, aspect, which is called tazkiyah. So, not having non-reformed hearts. And then, you know, because a lot of the problems occur because people, they swear, they slander. And this takes us to a general thing about practicing Islam. Because, you know, marriage is all about taqwa. You know, when we get married, what does the imam recite? The three verses of taqwa: God consciousness, God fear, fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Reminding the husband and the wife and both families that if you want this marriage to be prosperous, the only way is fearing Allah. So both you, bride, and you, the groom, taqullah, ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullah, ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullah, fear Allah, fear Allah, fear Allah. Three times reminded us, three verses of taqwa. Why? Because that's the only way you will not have problems in the marriage. Because every time you say something, you do anything, you remember, I have to answer Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Before you speak to your wife, the way you speak, the tone you're using, the manner you're speaking, you think, wait, every letter, word, I need to justify it in the court of Allah. This is taqwa. Everything I say, the angels are recording. The way I'm dealing with my spouse, angels are recording. Allah will question me. Forget my spouse. I'm worried about Allah first and foremost, violating the rights of my spouse, which Allah has commanded me not to violate. And fulfill, Allah has commanded me to fulfill those rights. So practicing of Islam, taqwa, that brings about barakah in the marriage, that brings about blessings in the marriage. Still have problems, some problems, like I said, you can't get rid of total problems. That's not dunya, that's in Jannah. But generally, you know, overcoming these kind of issues. So these are all kind of issues which there is a solution to. Lastly, is something that doesn't have a solution to. And the solution is actually before marriage. But then if you get married and then it occurs, then it's difficult and there's no solution, which is the non-presence of compatibility, the lack of compatibility. For that, I've delivered many marriage courses where I talk about, you know, before getting married, look for compatibility. Compatibility in different aspects, in terms of your taste and interest in life, your things you like to do in life, even mental compatibility. You know, you need to be on the same wavelength. Sometimes a couple gets married and they just speak different languages. They might be from the same background. Like I say this, I've got a saying that some couples, they have the same mother tongue, but they speak different languages. And there's some couples, they have different mother tongues, but they speak the same language. In other words, they understand one another. So mentally as well, you know, there needs to be compatibility. But this is before marriage. The solution is before marriage, you know, you try your best to try to find someone, investigate, research, find someone who's there's compatibility with. But if you get married and there's no compatibility, then the only way is sabr, or then Islam says, you know, you can separate and go through a divorce. I mean, that's also, it's not haram. Divorce is not haram. It's not something evil. Sometimes there's nothing, no choice other than divorce. And it's in this kind of cases, you know, where there's, for example, no compatibility or even some other reasons, but when there's no way you can, you know, you've tried the solutions and they're not working. So these are just some very summarized kind of, you know, causes. You know, I've just not even touched the topic properly. This, you know, each one of them I could talk for an hour and a half, to be honest. And I haven't mentioned some other ones as well. Like these are the main ones. I think we've talked about five, I don't know. But each one of them, I could talk about it like at least 1.5 hours in a lot of depth and detail with lots of Quranic verses and hadiths and, you know, very detailed. Then number two, another hour. Number three, I could go to about 10, 12, so we need 12 hours. But we don't live in a time where people want to watch a lecture for 12 hours. People are more interested in TikTok 12 seconds. Anyway, alhamdulillah. I'm going to just quickly look at your questions. Time is short. We've got a few minutes. I know, I don't know how, because we've got Maghrib Salah is just now, but inshallah, I can pray in like 5 minutes. We can delay it slightly. 5 minutes, it should be fine as well, inshallah. And there's some other courses you can take as well, you know, just check in the chat, inshallah. You can see some of the Al-Balagh courses that are being related kind of courses. Why did people before were better in sabr than us, and how can we increase our sabr? Is this some microchip that we need to plug in the brain to be? No, the reason is that because of the surroundings we are in, one of the reasons is social media. You know, we are accustomed to social media. People, you know, it's the way we are being brought up and the way we are seeing things around us. And it has an impact on us. How people around us have an impact. So everyone's just rubbing off on each other. So you're seeing people online, you know, you are looking at billions of people. You know, I've said this, that the human being wasn't designed to be connected to 100, 200, 300 people together to the brain at one given go. The human was designed to talk to one person. You know, your attention is one or two or three people at one given time. Right now, our attention is constantly on social media and internet, and it's like hundreds of people at the same time. So much going on with our brains. That's another topic. So because something, you know, we see so many different things, the lack of sabr and the lack of patience, all these things come about. That's one of the reasons. And also the fast moving life that we see. People used to live, the food they used to eat, they used to live in urban, you know, areas, or they used to live like, you know, in outskirts. They used to have a calmer, peaceful life that used to have an impact on them. It wasn't fast, busy life as well. You know, they used to eat organic chicken as well, and they used to eat organic food, and everything was nice and slow. And so their bodies were nice and slow as well. You know, they used to go outside and just relax a bit. And that also has an impact. So there's lots of things. Okay, can the volume be increased? That should be in the chat, sorry. We are told to have patience, but when is a good time to walk out of the toxic marriage? Look, it's difficult to say, each marriage is different. Yes, sabr is important, but like you're saying, of course, there's an extent, there's a limit. Islam doesn't say that just do sabr, even if your husband or your wife you just kills you. Of course not, you know. There's a boundary, there's a limit. But when it's a good time, it's difficult. Each marriage is difficult. You know, there's no one simple golden answer or a generic answer. It's difficult. You know, you have to look at each case and then see when a person should end the marriage. What is advice to men who think qawwamuna makes them better in the sight of Allah? I mean, it's wrong. I mean, what can you say? You know, they need to be educated. If some men think that al-rijalu qawwa means they're better, that's disgusting. There's no such a thing like that in Islam. I don't know where that came from. Being better, there's no concept of being better in Islam, men being better than women. There's no concept like that. It means they are in charge. They are responsible. Yes. And they have the final say in a marriage as well, because they're the amir. Allah has made the man the amir, which means that he must act like an amir as well, but take the responsibility. And, you know, but thinking better and abusing them. They need to learn. What can you say? You know, they need to learn and they need to be advised. And I mean, a lot of them, you know, the thing is, a lot of the men or even women, when they use Islam, they're not really practicing people. They're just using Islam. It's not really because they're practicing. It's not because of religion. So it's only when it suits them, they'll say, "Ar-rijalu qawwamuna," but then generally they're not practicing. They're not really connected to the deen. How is a man different than a woman psychologically? Yes, this is a good point, that there's two things here. One is when Islam is saying differences, looking at generally. That's why the rules are based on general. And how, you know, in individual cases, like for example, physically, the man is more, has more strength. That's a general rule. But there are a lot of women there that will knock out a woman, just give her a punch and just knock the man out, you know, just strangle him, possible. You know, there's cases in marriage. I've come across cases where the man was beaten up by the wife. There's domestic abuse from women as well. I've come across cases when there's a man, he was like, "My wife beats me up. He can't fight with her because she's too strong." Now, you know, rules are not based on individual cases, rare cases, or less cases. Rules in Islam are based on what's general. Even in someone's particular case, if that doesn't apply, you still have to apply the general rule. So that's number one. That basically, being more emotional, the man, I've seen more men more emotional than women, etc. So it's what's general. That's why all the rules of Islam, you know, like for example, witnesses, you have two female witnesses equals to one male witness. Now there's a concept behind this because there's differences. But there might be a case that in a particular case that the woman involved and the man involved, it should really be two male equal to this one woman. There could be cases like that, but Islam doesn't leave each individual scenario that you check in your situation, okay, the rule changes for you. Because then it becomes chaotic and, you know, becomes an anarchy. Rules being changed. So Islam just looks at what's general, overall, and then that rules applies to everybody. Number two, the second way to answer your question is that that's how men should be. But like I said, you say that you've seen men more emotional, etc., etc. A lot of the things that, you know, like I said, men are changing and women are changing because of the society we're in. It's the natures are being changed. Especially when it comes to love, I mean, that's different, you know, emotional. And when it comes to love, it's too different. I mean, showing love, etc. I mean, maybe you're confusing emotion and love as well. Emotional means like they're very, when you talk about emotional, not talking about love, it's talking about very easily being affected, very easily, very sensitive. Women are generally more sensitive than men. Women easily cry. You know, some men, they do cry, but they don't cry as easily as women. Women get scared quickly than men. I mean, you know, this is what I mean by emotional. You know, sometimes women cry and they don't know why they cry themselves. There's been case, there'll be some sisters here. And sometimes I feel like crying today. I don't know why, just feel like crying. What's the reason? Now the man doesn't understand. He's like, "Why are you crying?" But like, what's the reason? There's no reason. It's fine. Being a woman, that's being a woman. A woman sometimes just feels like it. It's just, so things like that, emotional, you know, a bit sensitive, more sensitive than men. Like the man might say something in a way and a woman will feel very sensitive and very easily feel offended by it. But the same thing the woman will say to the man and he'll just brush it off. Things like that. Does a woman have, women have more shahwa for a man or only the men have shahwa? No, both have shahwa for each other. Shahwa means sexual desire. Both have sexual, but there's difference. There's a difference in the sexual desire of a man and there's difference in the sexual desire of a woman. And I don't have the time, but I need like 10 minutes to explain the difference between the two. They both have sexual desires, but it's very different. We are living in a society where a man can kick you out from his house in a second and your parents ask you to stay with him in any circumstances. So shouldn't be a woman empowered enough so that she can be breadwinner for her kids at least? See, even this word like empowered and stuff like that, it's just, it's ingrained in our brains, you know, the way, because we've been brought up by this. You see, the whole issue is that the whole thing comes in a package. When I'm talking about all of this, if you take isolated things here and there, it's always going to show that there's something wrong here or something wrong there. You know, when we talk about Islam, Islam is a comprehensive way of life. So it's a package. And all of these things, you know, the whole of Islam, that's why a lot of the times when there's problems is because people are picking and choosing of Islam, aspects of Islam. And that's always going to say, okay, but this is happening, so it shouldn't this happen. When we look at Islam, we act up, if the whole of Islam as a package is acted upon, then this applies. So basically everything, you know, the man takes on the responsibility of being a man, the woman, you know, all of it together. You know, the man takes the role of being a man. He's a practicing man. He's got tazkiyah. He's got taqwa, the fear of Allah. He's passionate about the deen and he's very, very practicing. And the woman as well, she's practicing. She's got taqwa and she's got tazkiyah and they've reformed themselves. And the man fears Allah and he doesn't. So he's not going to just kick her out and things like that. So all of this as a package comes. Now, saying that, you know, if you think that, you know, you don't trust your husband as a practicing man or someone who fears Allah, then maybe in a case, I mean, it's not haram, you know, to work. I mean, that's if somebody, like, that's why Islam allows it. But if someone wants to do that and they don't trust the man they're marrying and they think that this man could be a bad man, then, you know, it's fine. I mean, there's nothing wrong. And in that case, just earn a bit. She's not the bread, basically she can earn a bit for her and her kids, but the kids is like the man's responsibility. Everything that the man has to provide, she doesn't have to provide. Don't spoil the man, like put it on his head. Like, I'm not giving, you have to give. Someone said, you can do your best. Yeah, it's true. But you know, I think Amna, you know, I've always said, after delivering a lot of detailed marriage courses, people have asked me that, what's one, you know, lines, like one line summary, if you talk about marriage, one line summary, one advice. I've said always that marriage is all about giving. If everyone goes into marriage, I know this is easier said than done, but just think about it for a moment. It's, you know, in Islam, everything we do is for the sake of Allah. It's not even for the person that we're doing it for. Even our children, even our spouses. It's all for the sake of Allah. You know, even relatives, even friends, when we are good to people, we are fulfilling the rights of others, we think it's a responsibility that Allah has given me. I'm not waiting for a return. There's a hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that the real maintainer of ties is not someone who maintains ties when others maintain ties. وَلَكِنَّ الْوَاصِلَ الَّذِي إِذَا قُتِعَتْ رَحِيمُهُ وَصَلَهَا. The real maintaining of ties is when others are not fulfilling your rights, you still fulfill them for the sake of Allah. So I said this, that if marriage becomes all about giving, each party says, like, you know what? I am entering this marriage not for myself, not for my rights, not for my sexual desire, not for my, you know, pleasure, my gain, my desires, my wants, my wishes. I am going in this marriage to just give for the sake of Allah. I'm not going to wait for a return. Yes, of course, if it gets too much, then you can't do sabr, then that's a different case. But I am just there and I will take all my reward in the akhirah. Each party does that. Someone has to start, each party. And normally, when one party does that, becomes a giver, normally, 97% of the time, the other party will automatically become a giver as well, unless you've married an animal or a beast or somebody. But generally, human beings, when someone is treating you so much good in the best of ways, like giving everything, and they're not wanting anything in return, the other party automatically just reciprocates. It's basic human nature. And it all becomes giving. It's all about giving. It's like, you know, two people going to the door, say, no, you go first. No, no, you go first. No, you go first. Like, no, no, you go first. It's like that in marriage. No, no, you don't have to do this. No, 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 you don't do this. No, you don't have to cook, I'll cook. No, 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 you don't cook, I'll cook. You know, everything becomes about giving. I know I'm talking about like a very fantasy. It sounds fantasy, I know. But people don't try it. That's why it sounds like fantasy. You know, it is difficult, but once the awliya of Allah, they become so connected to Allah. For them, it's all about the pleasure of Allah. They smile for Allah. Even a smile with somebody, it's not for them. that everything they do, this is a high level of spirituality. Like I said, if the deen is acted upon properly, once we get to those high levels of spirituality, then we see that marriages and generally life and interactions between people become really amazing. How can we let them men see out that our many is our many concept of Islam is in deenness? Cause some men see it as such. I didn't understand that. Tell them that your money is your money. Tell them. What happens if the man does not provide for the wife, even though he's capable, and ask the wife not to work? He doesn't provide and ask the wife not to work. She goes ahead and work so she can provide for us. It's not a sin. It's not a sin to work, first of all. Okay. Number two, if he's not providing, then of course, like, you know, even if he says don't work, he's not fulfilling his responsibility. You try to make him fulfill that responsibility if he isn't. But remember, this is not when your expectations are great. Like, he's fulfilling your responsibility. A man providing, meaning giving you food, accommodation, shelter, basic. Not the 14th handbag and the 15th pair of shoes and the 16th, you know, brand name cardigan, etc. Of course, that's not there. Basic, if he's providing basic, then he's fulfilling his responsibility. Can the program time, it has been extended, Brother Saif, inshallah. I need to go in like a few minutes now, maximum a few minutes. What do you mean by opposite of helping in regards to family member, helping the married couple? In other words, that you're complicating the situations rather than going and giving them good, sincere advice and making the problem small. Some people, they go and they try to help and they make the problem even greater. So that's what I meant. Course three, one should lower the expectations before, yeah. And course four, Jazakallah, Iftikhar has written that. How much should a husband do for his sister? We're talking about noting he doesn't do those errands for his wife, shopping, loan. No, okay. Now, a lot of these things, you know, sometimes what happens, okay, I'll address that question, but a lot of times what happens is, again, it's more like, you know, sometimes, I'm not saying in this case, but sometimes it's just like, why is he doing for her and not for me? Like, am I not important? It becomes more like ego type of thing. Again, a lot of these problems go back to that, the jealousy, the ego. Like sometimes, you know, I remember a case that the wife didn't know something that, the husband was doing for his mother or somebody. And she was okay for it for 10 years. And the moment he found out that he's been doing that, it's like, you know, why you don't do it for me? And then it became a massive problem. So 10 years, you didn't even know about it. It wasn't a problem. It was more like it's just an ego, jealousy, all the spiritual diseases. Okay. But if in a particular case, there's something, forget what he does for his sisters or not. That's not what, you don't have to worry about that. What he's doing for his sisters or his mother or his friend or his granddad or his dad or what he's not doing for them. Forget that. You don't need to look at that. As a wife, you need to look at, is he fulfilling your rights? Don't even look at what he's doing for his sisters. Don't compare, oh, he's doing that errand for the sisters. Then it becomes more ego kind of stuff. It's like jealousy and all spiritual disease. Forget that. Mashallah, do as much for your sister. You know, inshallah, I don't care. I don't mind. You know, do for the whole humanity. May Allah reward you and take you Jannah and take me with you Jannah as well if you do it. No problem. But yeah, but what I need to know is, in this marriage, are you fulfilling my rights? Yes, fulfilling my rights? Alhamdulillah. Not fulfilling my rights? You need to fulfill my rights and then bring that up. Forget about what he's doing for other people. Okay. Now I'm going to go, inshallah, that's it, 2 minutes. Purifying the heart, there's lots of books. There's one book called Path to Perfection. Check on Amazon, Google, Path to Perfection. Sheikh Masihullah Khan, I think it's from White Thread Press. Good book. Okay, I can't answer all the rest of the questions because now I really need to go and pray Maghrib, inshallah. Compatibility can be worked upon in cases. Sometimes it can't. It's possible. It's not that it's completely gone out of the window. Cost of living, of course, I understand. But there's one thing I'll say here. The cost of living is there, but our expectations are huge as well. You know, some people before, in the early times, they used to just sleep on the floor and have like a very modest type of house. And they used to have a home, maybe not a house. They used to love one another, just sleep anywhere and, you know, be together, happy, no massive expectations. Today our expectations are big. The wife wants a lot, the husband wants a lot. We just want, you know, so that can also be an issue. But of course, the cost of living is far greater. Should an alim marry alima? All these kind of questions, it just depends on two people. There's no one generic, the kind of engineer marry engineering woman or a scholar, you know. There's no one answer. It depends on the people. Each human being is different. Every alim is different to another alim. Every alim is different to another alim. So there's no one answer. Okay, I'm just going to end there, inshallah. I'm just looking one last question. Okay, there's quite a few, inshallah, but I think we'll have to stop there because time is up, inshallah. Jazakallah khair, all of you, inshallah. And maybe with all these questions, we could also do another session, maybe part two of this. Maybe, inshallah, maybe I'll ask Al-Bilal, we can do part two, and then these same questions, we can go through them as well, and inshallah. Jazakumullah khair. May Allah bless all of you. And those who haven't prayed Maghrib, just please quickly pray Maghrib. I'm just going to pray with a couple of people here and do my jama'ah, inshallah. Jazakumullah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.